Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to imagine that you are a little kid. It's Christmas morning, you spring out of bed, and in a full-on sprint, hurriedly make your way to the living room. Once you get there, you see the Christmas tree. Radiantly shining, illuminating the entire room, but your eyes does not stay focused on that tree for very long, as they quickly dart down to the floor to see what? Presents. Presents of all shapes and all sizes sit there underneath that tree. You fill up with joy and excitement. You can barely hold it back. Already in your head, you've started organizing which ones are yours and which ones are not. Now, if you're this little kid, do you ask yourself where these presents came from? Do you wonder if the person who got these presents for you is reliable? Do you think to yourself, boy, I'm glad I got all these presents for myself this year? No, of course not. When you see those presents, you know exactly who they're from. And because you know, you also trust that those presents are going to be awesome. So you start unwrapping them, and you were right. They're great. You can't believe how you feel right now. You're overflowing with the joy and excitement even more than before. And as you're looking at all these presents, you can't decide which one you want to play with or use first. But then, all of a sudden, your parents come and take all your presents away from you and say, well, on second thought, Let's take these back to the store. I think that'd be for the best. How would you feel? Would you be confused? Upset? Maybe even a little angry? Probably all the above. I can imagine that not only would it be hard to be okay with your presence being taken away from you, but also it'd be hard to that those parents, your parents, are doing what's best for you. In our lesson for today, we will learn to praise God, from whom all blessings flow. We will see God as the one and the only source of all our blessings. And we'll also learn to trust that whatever God decides to do with those blessings is for our best. The first few verses of our lesson this morning serve as kind of an introductory to the book of Job. And so we're learning a little bit about Job right away. We hear that he is a wealthy man. A lot of animals, a lot of sons. He even has a large family. Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters. So Job could rest assured that his family name would pass on from generation to generation. Job was wealthy. And our lesson makes that clear. In fact, our lesson calls Job the greatest man among all the people of the East. But before we hear about all of that, we hear something even more striking about Job, don't we? We hear that Job is upright and blameless. We hear that Job shuns evil and is a fearer of God. These personalities are remarkable. And I'm sure they served quite a large role in Job's name as the greatest man of the people from the East. So, with this little bit of information that you have so far, what's your impression of Job? I don't know about you, but I'm pretty impressed. Job is wealthy. Job seems to have everything. And God even says so himself. In verse 8 of this chapter, something which is not part of our reading for this morning, we hear God telling Satan about Job. God says, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." Job seems to have it all. Possessions, family, and even God's approval. Now, you would think it'd be pretty easy for Job to become prideful, don't you? that if Job just took a look at all that he had, that it would not take much for him to start puffing himself up. That it'd be pretty natural for him to start thinking to himself, look at all these things I've earned for myself. Look at all my hard work, how it's paid off. Look how good I have it. Did Job ever doubt or forget who his source of all his possessions were? So we hear Job was rich, but that richness, as we also heard, does not stop with wealthy possessions. Job was rich in faith. In the opening verse of this chapter, we're told that Job was blameless and upright and feared God and shunned evil. Despite all of his riches, Job did not forget who the source of all of them were. Job knew and recognized God, who was the one who blessed him with all this wealth. And later, in the second half of verse 21 from our reading, we hear Job say, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Job clearly testifies who his source is for all his blessings. Job recognized God as his source. Are we like Job? Are we always confidently looking up to God as our one true source for all that we have? Or do we sometimes forget? Are there times that we forget that God is the one who gave us everything and start giving ourselves the credit and praise instead of God? Friends in Christ, I know I forget the source of my possessions sometimes, and I know you do too. It may be easy, too easy, to sometimes become so wrapped up in all we have to forget about the one who gave. Maybe it's a little kid who just got a toy that he really wanted. Does he take time to stop and thank God for that? Or is he too busy thinking about how happy he is? Maybe it's the college student thinking about all this financial aid he got for school. Does he take the time to really see God as the one who is the source of that financial blessing? Or does he just give himself a pat on the back for all his hard work? Or maybe as adults, it's that raise that you just got for work. After you get it, do you thank God? Do you recognize God as the true source of that blessing, that financial blessing? Or are you quick to recognize yourself and start to feel pride in yourself and all your hard work? These are just a few of the many examples of how we can forget God as our source. So, why does God keep giving? If we are constantly forgetting God and ignoring Him as the true source, why does He keep giving us blessings? Simple answer: God is love. God loves us with an everlasting, unconditional, overflowing kind of love. And He loves to be the source of all that we have, even when we fail to recognize Him. In fact, He loves being the source of all that we have so much that He even provided the source of our freedom from sin in His Son, Jesus. And with this forgiveness, He provides us the ability to recognize Him as our source and to give thanks to Him as our source. And with this faith, we are also able to trust in God. Trust what God does with all those possessions that He's given us. So the first few verses of this lesson tells us about how wealthy Job is. But the verses right afterwards kind of has a little side story, the part that we did not talk about in our lesson so far. We hear something pretty peculiar happening. We see Satan coming up to God and asking Him, or to argue with Him about Job. See, Satan was convinced that Job was really not all that faithful to God. He was telling God that if God took all of Job's possessions away, Job would not be faithful to God anymore. In fact, that He would curse him. So, what does God do? God says, go ahead, Satan. All of Job's possessions are at your fingertips. Do with them as you please. And as we heard, Satan showed no mercy. Our lesson, the text really does a good job describing how horrible life was for Job and how quickly it came. Starting at verse 13, I'm going to read. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. And while he was still talking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and your daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. Can you even begin to imagine? Can you imagine what it felt like? What it would be like to have everything that you owned, all your loved ones, swept away and destroyed in one. To all of this, Job shaves his head, tears his robe, and does what? Does he ask for pity? Does he mourn? Does he shake his fist up to the heavens and say, why, God, why have you done this to me? No. Job falls to the ground and worships the Lord. Job says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Horatio Spafford, a hymn writer, has a fairly interesting but yet very sad story to the hymn he wrote. You see, Horatio and his family, his wife and kids, were in America, and they wanted to go back to Europe. So Horatio sent the kids and his wife on a boat ahead of him so he could stay a few extra days in America to finish. In an accident on the way, and it sunk. His wife survived, but none of his kids did. So when Horatio found out about this tragic news, he got on the next boat to go over to find his wife. And on his way, Horatio's ship pointed out to him, this is where the ship that your wife and your children went down. So then at that point, Horatio started writing the beautiful hymn that we still sing today. In fact, it was the hymn that we just sung, When Peace Like a River. Horatio, like Job, could have easily given up. He could have easily become very angry with God because of what just happened and wanted nothing to do with God. But instead, Job trusted in God. They trusted that God knew what was best in taking care of their possessions. They knew that no matter what happened, even if tragedy fell, God was in control. Oh, what faith Horatio and Job displayed for us today. Could you do that? Do you do that? Do you always place your full trust in God over all your possessions, no matter what's happening? This could be pretty hard to do. I mean, when things are going well, when things are going as you planned or as you want, I'm sure it'd be pretty easy to put your trust in God, but how about those times when things don't go as you planned? Or when things happen that you don't want to have happen? When something is taken away from you instead of given to you, how's your trust in God then? This is something that is hard to do. It's hard because we're sinners. Our sinful nature pulls our trust away from God, puts it on ourselves. When a loved one dies unexpectedly, we wonder what God was doing. When we lose our job, we wonder if God is really in control. When money runs slim and it becomes harder and harder to keep up with the bills and put food on the table, we wonder if God really knows what's best for us. Our sinful nature can lead us to think these kind of thoughts and start to wonder if we can trust in a God who doesn't really seem to know what he's doing. Our sinful nature will often lead us to think that we can handle our possessions better than God can. Our sinful nature will lead us to think that we know better than God. Oh, how easily we forget. Oh, how easily we forget that God is the source, the one and only source of all those blessings that we have. Everything that we own comes from God. And because God is our source, can't we trust that God knows what to do with those possessions? Yes. Yes, we can. God assures us that we can trust him to take care of our possessions no matter what happens. Like Job, we can recognize that God gives and God takes away. And that no matter what, God's name is worthy of praise. How comforting it is to know that we have a God who is all-powerful, all-knowledgeable, and all-loving. How comforting it is to know that we have a God who cares about us, knows what's best for us, is able to give to us what's best for us, and does give to us what's best for us. So it may be hard for that kid on Christmas morning to have trust in his parents after his parents took away those gifts he just opened. But we don't have to think the same way about God. We can, in faith, trust God, the source of all that we have, to take care of all our possessions. No matter what happens, whether life is going as we planned or whether life is not going as we planned, we know that God is in control and has our best interest in mind. So then we can sing with the hymn writer Horatio, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, no matter my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Amen.